Okay, my pleasure to introduce you to Lynn from Northern California. Go ahead for 15 minutes. Would you like a warning or?
I'm going to set mine for 14, but feel free if I run over to shut me up. Here we go.
Thanks.
Hey everybody, my name is Lynn and I qualify as an alcoholic, also a compulsive eater. I've done the BBA work around food and chaos and control, obsessing, worrying, etc. So I was looking over my WhatsApp today and I realized I'm speaking on step 10. I didn't so but I it's okay and it's good. I'm actually really excited about that, and I grabbed my workbook. I will also try to remember this is an international meeting and try to slow my rate of speed down to human levels. So step 10. It actually is a perfect topic. Because, I can so easily compartmentalize things in my life that are going on and not even equate them to my untreated ism, right? I can have something going on in an area of my life that I'm not even noticing until it all goes off the rails, right? Until it's working, until it's not working. And so the part in the book in particular that I really like in step 10, which of course isn't long, long, long. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. And there used to be this guy in one of my meetings. I loved him. He was very serious. He was a biker, he was really, and he would always bring this up. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe, And I'm going to stick to the way it's written in the literature and not sub in my own stuff. But, it's the ism, alcoholism. We know alcohol in and of itself isn't a foe. The bottle itself is just an inanimate object, right? We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into our lives, into our activities, all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And this is the perseverance. Right? This is the simple, not easy of the program. And I have an illness that is designed to not expose itself, to hide and to say, this is an alcoholism. You haven't thought of a drink in years. You don't want to do any of that stuff. And so for me, what in the 10th step, the perseverance, something that came up for me in my workplace, and it literally, I had a huge step one around it yesterday again, is that I will put things off at work. Or whatever, but work was what happened. And the longer I put it off, the less likely it is that I will do the thing, right? And so I had an experience where literally 8 weeks went by of me not doing something, and I knew I hadn't done it. There is no mistake. There is no gosh, I thought I did. It was literally evenings going to bed. I haven't done that yet. Waking up in the morning, I'm going to do that today, and then not doing it and knowing I didn't do it. And the anxiety and the fear, and then not doing it because I hadn't done it. And it's just, that's insanity. Somebody said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And someone I really like and respect says that's actually denial. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again when deep, deep down you know you're gonna get the same result that you always got. And that's, this trap, this. This is what drives me. This is where, if I live and operate in this space and not acknowledge in this place in my life, something is going on, I will eventually, something's at some point, right? I don't get to choose when the obsession to chaos and control, the thought of a drink. I'm the kind of addict that I will not get the should I, shouldn't I type of warning. I will just all of a sudden be there doing it. Like I'm like Fred, I'm walking across into the door, I'm in the dining room, and all of a sudden the thought comes to me. Or I'm the one that's doing whatever and somebody says, "Hey, I thought you don't do that anymore," right? I don't have the luxury of knowing it'll only when it gets X amount of bad is when that is going to happen, right? And it says actually in our workbook, and there's a lot of transcribing in step 10, but the part that I really got that I love in our BBA workbook, since this is a BBA meeting. The greatest promise of all, and it's a miracle. There is no problem and there is no choice involved. It does not exist for us. And then they have a couple examples. I would not go back to it even if I could. And he would not drink even if he would. There is no choice. I can't make a choice. I've admitted in step one that I have no choice whether or not I will choose to do the thing that, you know, and I don't, and I told my girlfriend, I did like a step 10 around it with one of my, frankly, one of my sponsees, one of the people that I'm guiding through the steps. We were, and I said, you know, if only the pain leading up to yesterday morning would be enough to keep me from doing that again, right? It's, you can take that part of your life, you can apply it to every addiction that we have. Even if it's not an addiction, it's the thing that I'm hitting a bottom around right now, right? It's this, whatever this, you know, it's this mind power disease. I said, and if only, how good it felt to come clean to my boss without a bunch of like, let me tell you how much I've beat myself up about this so you don't have to, right? Like, we're never going to talk about it again because I've already, believe me, I've fallen on my sword. I have told you what a shit employee I am. You know, you should fire me. No, I'm not going to fire you. I mean, that's the old character. I called my boss. I said, do you have a minute so that I'm not intruding on his time? I said, I realize, you know, I have not, I've been derelict in my duty. I've not sent this in. And I wanted to get your advice before I did it. Cause you know, the alcoholic, you know, the addict wants to just send it off and, you know, like be like, okay, phew, right? But he's my boss. I need to know what he wants me to do. He might have a different course of action. And I said, here's what I'm thinking I can do. And he said, that's perfect. Do that. I'm like, okay. So I did it. If only how good it felt to have come clean, admitted that it's all my fault. I said, this is all my fault. I don't have an excuse. I did not tell him that every day I knew that I was doing this. You know, I didn't go that far. But if only knowing how good it felt that I would never do that again, right? But I don't have a choice, apparently, because this happens in my life all the time. You know, it's like, it's the part that I, that's where my illness manifests in the day I'm in. And so I have this opportunity today to say, okay, where am I not trusting in God? I did not believe in general, when I was faced with the task, I didn't feel a denial or I shouldn't have to do this. It's not related specifically to the task, right? Just like something's not about alcohol. So what can I do? I can keep tracking back and say, all I can do is apply all of my resources that I have to a spiritual way of life. So there's something somewhere in my life that I am not being, you know, accessing the power. Right? I'm not able to access the power. I am being blocked. And that is the perseverance of keeping, you know, I'm a plumber's wife. Most people know, people who know me know this. I always use like the pipe analogy. Like anybody who's ever seen like the Drano ad with the little thingy pipe and there's the clog in the middle of it. That is kind of my visual on accessing the power. That's how it works for me. And I'm a religious person. And that pipe analogy really works for me to take the whole like fairy tale kind of like magic wand kind of power thing going on. It literally is. There's access to power in me. Deep down inside me, there's access to a godly power and the godly molecules that bounce together to make me be able to live God's will for me. Something's blocking me. So I have to go back. You know, I have to keep tracking in the moment I'm in, as we say in step 10. It's not about what I do at night and go, oh, how did it go? Like, that's great to do my 11 and how did it go, right? Step 11 is an opportunity to check in with God and be honest about how my day went. I have to, in the day I'm in, access the power so that I don't end up, you know, this snowball effect or the hairball effect, if you will, in my shower. That's what I have to do that. That's where the choice comes from. That's where I'm going to recoil from that procrastination as if from a hot flame. I will say, wow, man, I learned my lesson, right? I will stay in the mindset, as Tiba would say, I've learned my lesson. I don't have to be the psychotic type that does not learn from her lessons. Because this program is not an intellectual program. It is not an educational program. It is a spiritual program. And I just today on Twitter, which I'm not nearly as active on as I was a year ago, but somebody had, there's a lot of people in recovery on Twitter. And one of these folks had come on, oh, you guys, I screwed up. I'm sorry for all you who are looking for me as inspiration. And they had, you know, they had picked up and they were coming clean to everybody that they had picked up. And I'm like, man, you know, if only we all knew that this is not about, like, I get the gold star if I don't pick up, and I'm a bad girl if I did pick up. It's treated or untreated. But because we have access to the treatment, there's this moral. It says nobody would be honest if we had cancer. Sorry, you guys, my cancer came back. Nobody would, you know, nobody would say that. But because there's this moral implication around addiction and a moral, spiritual equals moral to so many, right? And so what I know for myself, again, is that the problem part of this is that I know that feeling crappy about what I was doing didn't make me not do it. And feeling awesome about coming clean and doing the right thing will not keep me a year from now, 3 months from now, a week from now from you know, effing off at work or whatever I want to call it. All I can do is continue to check in. And I do know that in the last, you know, since the time that I was supposed to do the thing of leading up to, we're talking about 3 months, basically. There's been a lot of places where I've been in fear. I'm on a board. I kind of operate at a high, not high, when I'm at the bottom of the pyramid. You know, it's a service structure, not a power structure. But I feel the weight, if you will, of some responsibility in one of my fellowships. And man, I noticed that if somebody criticizes me, it makes me angry. It makes me want to lash out. It makes me feel picked on. If I'm very sensitive still, right? And you know, that's an area that I know I can actually really apply my spiritual program and be willing to really do, when it comes up, really go harder for the solution. You know, be willing to really not just do it all in my head and like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, and intellectualize myself out of the problem. Oh no, you're being silly, you know, or do the whole like having a positive outcome yesterday. What I attribute to a being a positive outcome is like the outcome is the outcome, right? And I said it recently on one of the other meetings. I can just stop. Like I did what I was supposed to do. I don't need to share with you what Dan told me. I don't need to share with you what the person that I finally sent the information to did with it when I, you know, crafted my email, sent it on. The story ends there because it does not matter what the outcome is. It does not matter if I come into work on Monday and my boss fires me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like in the camp movie, you know, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is that my side of the street is clean and I can live with the consequences of my actions today, because it doesn't make me an unlovable person. It doesn't make me, it makes me a human person, you know, like I'm a human being having a spiritual experience. So this perseverance, I'm looking for my timer here. Oh, 1 minute 32 on 14 minutes. This perseverance, that's what it's about. You know, I mean, if I don't do those things, if I don't say, you know, God, show me today how to help the alcoholic who still suffers, the men and women who still suffer with everything. They're suffering with anxiety. They're suffering with the anxiousness around a pandemic. They're suffering with the fact that they don't have enough food. They're suffering with the fact that their meetings aren't in person anymore and they really miss hugging people. If I can do those things, and I'm emotional today, if I could do those things, then I don't need to worry or choose not to procrastinate at work, because the problem is removed from me. You know, so yeah, I mean, it as within, so without. As within, so without. I have a construction project going. Some people that I know about it, you know, and I've got a inspector that, you know, problematic. And I was talking to my contractor last night and it was like, I'm gonna call the city. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm calling the city about. I don't know what to say. I'm like, I don't know. What do you want me to say? And I said, tell me what we're trying to achieve, you know? And this person is a spirit person trying to walk a spiritual path. And as we were kind of talking through it, he goes, I said, they're coming on Monday, right? You know, I mean, I don't know what the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I don't know what a phone call, I don't know what the building inspector version of spitting in your food is, but I don't really want to get that. You know, I don't know what we're doing. And he said, you know what? Don't call. And it was so nice. You know, like there's nothing for me to do. There's nothing for me to do. We are where we are. I get to look at my part, which I can't really see one specifically. I've been inquisitive and asking and believe, you know, willing to say how high when they say jump, it's the best I can do. My contractor gets to look at his own part and say, you know, if he's willing to whatever with what, how he might've helped. But I don't have to like try to make something happen today. 2 weeks, you know, we lost 2 weeks. I don't know what to say. Maybe if we'd moved forward 2 weeks ago, something would have happened that made it where we wouldn't have wanted to go forward so soon. I have no idea. What I know is I'm that much closer to getting my spare bedroom back from my sister, and, you know, it's all going to be okay. You know, it's all going to be all right. you know, it's, can't control any of it. All I can control is how much of my energy goes into my spiritual program of action. I can't control not obsessing, worrying, eating, drinking, taking drugs, whatever. I have no control over any of that. I learned that in step one. Step 10 is about picking up all these spiritual tools on a daily basis to the best of my ability and being willing to ask God, show me how to help the alcoholic or the man and woman who still suffer. And with that, I will end my share. You guys are awesome. Thank you for letting me do this today. It was a perfect timing with that thing that happened. I was like, perfect timing for step 10.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I love it that you're always so real and so current, which is so brilliant. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.